Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and health. All right, tonight I'm actually going to tell you some good reasons of why you should keep chocolate in your life. You need some chocolate in your life and in your diet. But first, as always, I always begin with my shout-out time, and I just want to give two quick shout-outs. One, to all the April birthdays out there. Happy birthday, everybody that was born in April. Hope that you had an amazing time and you're celebrating big. Happy birthday. Also, a big shout-out to my very good friend, Janie, for being on my last show and talking about her hair care and about self-love and self-care. I just really appreciate you and was honored to have you on your first podcast ever on my show. So thank you so much for being a part of my show, my dear friend Janie, my sis. All right, y'all. Tonight I'm going to actually be my own guest. This topic has been on my mind for a while. I've been wanting to do a show about chocolate. And so, and, you know, because I feel like, you know, a lot of times we have to make up an excuse to eat chocolate. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to make an excuse up anymore. Because I want to tell you, eat that chocolate. Eat it. In fact, the average American consumes 11 pounds of chocolate each year. So don't feel bad. But I'm going to help you be mindful about the types of chocolate and how much of it to eat, right? Everything's about moderation, and the type, you know, of chocolate is what is important. Just like anything, right? It's how you eat it. You can eat anything as long as you eat it, and it depends about the ingredients, and it depends on the portion and the type, right? So there are actually many, many benefits to actually eating chocolate, and I'm going to teach you all why tonight. However, first, I want to talk about each detailed step in making good quality chocolate actually matters because it impacts the overall quality and flavor of chocolate. So we're going to talk about how chocolate is made, and I learned a lot through this process in my research as well, and I'm going to tell you how to kind of find good chocolates and bad chocolates. I'm going to educate y'all about chocolate. So the first step in actually making chocolate is harvesting. Chocolate comes from a cacao tree, which is commonly grown in Mexico, Colombia, West Africa, Costa Rica, and other countries where similar climates, you know, just have about the right amount of rainfall and the temperatures in which this particular tree will thrive. So the cacao tree must be ripe. And then it produces a fruit. And the cocoa beans grow inside of the fruit. So once the cocoa beans are removed from that fruit, they must be dried and fermented in the same location they're grown. It's a super detailed process that affects how the chocolate's actually going to taste. Believe it or not, the real natural cocoa bean, it actually has a very bitter taste at first. In fact, My best friend, when I told her that I was doing the show tonight, she sent me a bunch of, you know, research, and she showed me a really cool picture of what is inside a cocoa pod. And it actually looks like Almond Joy. You know, like when you open up Almond Joy and you see like the coconut, it kind of looks like the inside of that, you know. And in order to actually produce 1 kilogram, which is like 2.2 pounds of chocolate, it takes around 300 to 600 cocoa beans that need to be processed. Okay. Anyway, I digress. We're still in the very beginning stages. So we harvest, right? And the next step is fermentation. This step is super, super critical. The seeds are separated from the pods and pulp, and the natural sugars fuel this fermentation process. And they're kind of responsible for that classic cocoa flavor that we all love, right? And that is achieved with natural yeast and bacteria found in cocoa beans. Now, these beans are left out in the heat and ferments for about 7 days, so for about a week. And then the cocoa beans are quickly dried to prevent mold growth, which brings us actually to the next step, which is roasting. So first the beans must be roasted cleaned. First the beans must be thoroughly cleaned, and that usually happens at the manufacturer. Okay, that's when, you know, all the sticks, all the stones, and the debris has to be removed. You know, that's the stage of removing all the debris. Stage is what brings out the rich chocolate flavor. And how long and what temperature you roast the cocoa beans affects the overall flavor. So it's a critical, critical step. So after the beans are roasted, now you have this outer shell that falls off the beans to reveal that inner part of the bean called nibs. And that's when the processing step takes effect. The nibs are then ground into like a fine powder, which contains cocoa solids and about 50% of the cocoa butter, which then usually liquefies from the heat when grinding the nibs. The liquefied forms of the nibs is referred to as cocoa liquor. The cocoa liquor is poured into molds and goes through a cooling period. And then it's transported in blocks. And these blocks are known as baker's chocolate. So it can be separated into two different parts, so cocoa butter or cocoa powder. Next is the blending stage. So there's endless blends after after this process to make different types of products, right? There's different types of chocolate products. So depending on what you want to make, that's what you blend, right? So you can bake chocolate, you can the cocoa butter, cocoa powder, chocolate candies, et cetera. So, you know, I'm going to simplify this, you know, kind of for you again. Because these stages are super, super critical in terms of actually in which chocolate is actually made. So, you know, first, again, you know, you have a tree that produces these cocoa beans. And then again, the cocoa beans and pulp, they're removed from the pod, and then you go through the fermentation, right? And then they get dried and roasted. And then the beans get cracked and then it turns into the cocoa nibs, and then you can grind them. And then it's how you blend them and what you mix them for or with to be able to determine what type of chocolate and blend that you're going to actually have. So there's different types of chocolates, such as chocolate, there's white chocolate, there's ruby chocolate, and there's unsweetened chocolate. And I know there's lots of chocolates in a chocolate box, right? But let me go through these major ones so that you understand. So milk chocolate, what does that mean? Well, it means that at least 10% of the cocoa and the 12% of milk solids are there. So it's only 10% cocoa and 12% milk solids. Then you have dark chocolate. Dark chocolate, there's no real definition for it, but it typically is 55% of cocoa and above. Right, so anything that's 55% cocoa and above is more the truer, darker chocolate. Then you have sweet chocolate. The sweet chocolate has more cocoa, so you have like 35% cocoa and less than 12% milk solids, whereas remember the milk chocolate is at least 10% cocoa, but the sweet chocolate is 35% cocoa. The white chocolate is at least 20% cocoa butter and 14% milk solids. So because of the higher milk content, that's why where you get, you know, the white chocolate. All right, then we have ruby chocolate, which I was never aware of ruby chocolate. This is kind of interesting. It's kind of a pinkish kind of color, ruby. At least 1.5 non-fat cocoa solids, 20% cocoa butter, and 12% milk solids. And then we have the unsweetened chocolate, which is, it doesn't taste very good just in its original form. It's 100% cocoa, 100%, okay? So those are the different types of chocolate. So for the sake of this show, we're going to actually just kind of focus on the three main types of chocolate. So that means like the white, the milk, white chocolate, milk chocolate, and dark chocolate. So each of these chocolates are determined by the percentage of cocoa they contain, as I just described. You know, white chocolate, again, contains no cocoa mass at all, only the cocoa butter. So, again, the white chocolate has to have at least 20% of cacao fat in it and 14% milk solids, according to the FDA. This means, again, that it is made of cocoa butter, and cocoa butter comes from cocoa beans. So it deviates from the traditional milk, so it's white in color and light in flavor. However, it typically has a higher sugar content, so it's very, very sweet tasting. I personally don't like white chocolate. It's actually too sweet for my palate. I've never really liked white chocolate, ever. Only time I'll ever eat white chocolate is if there's like a little mint taste to it, like chocolate milk or chocolate mint. But I'm not a big white chocolate fan myself. It's too sweet for me. That's my personal opinion. Milk chocolate has to be made from at least 10% cocoa, which means the liquor, the solids, and our butter mixture has to have at least 12% milk solids, according to the FDA. So since it has that low cocoa content and higher sugar content compared to darker chocolate, it has that sweeter type of taste as well. You know, it contains milk powder or condensed milk. That's all up to the manufacturer's discretion. You know, recently, some companies have kind of morphed into a different blend using coconut, oat, or almond milk to keep that creamy, sweet taste still there, but without the dairy. For those, you know, there's a lot more people that have challenges with dairy. So you could be on the lookout for those type of chocolates if that's a challenge that you face. And then you have the dark chocolate. Okay, so dark chocolate contains more of the bitter cocoa mass and has the highest percentage of cocoa solids and lowest percentage of additional ingredients such as sugar, milk, vanilla, and cocoa butter. So usually your dark chocolate is labeled, and that's how you can kind of tell that, you know, generally the healthier chocolates are labeled with the percentage, because any chocolate that's 55% cocoa or higher is labeled as dark chocolate. So the highest quality options made with the least amount of ingredients tend to be about 75 to 90% cocoa. However, the higher the cocoa, the more bitter tasting your chocolate is going to be. So I kind of find a sweet spot between like the 75 and 90% myself when I'm looking for good dark chocolate. But interesting enough, the more that we age, our palate actually changes. And we tend to go for the darker chocolate instead of sweet and milky, which I think is really, really interesting. And I see that with my own, you know, grandparents. They tended to go more toward that dark chocolate. And also my mom. As we age, we tend to go more toward that dark chocolate, which is actually really good because we're going to get into the benefits of that. And it's less sugar, and it's actually a healthier, you know, type of chocolate. So it's actually really good to do that, to go more into the darker chocolate than the milky chocolate. And dark chocolate's usually vegan due to its lack of dairy. So it's always another good benefit. You know, when you're shopping or, you know, for chocolate, the taste, texture, cocoa content, and even the aroma makes a difference between good and bad chocolate. All right. Everyone knows a good chocolate, you know, when you see it and you taste it, right? So we're going to dig into something deeper. We're going to get a little nerdy here, but I think this is really interesting. We're going to dig deeper to see how you can tell if chocolate is good or bad. You got to look at it, right? You got to do the visual test. Good chocolate should appear glossy with no bubbles or blemishes. If there's discolorations, it could be due to chocolate bloom, which is not harmful, but it does lower the quality of the process of which it's made, so it does affect the taste. And that usually happens during the manufacturing and storing process. All right, secondly, we have to do the sniff test, okay? We have to smell it. High quality chocolate should smell strongly like chocolate. If there is a frozen or spicy scent, this can mean that the chocolate was improperly stored. Because typically chocolate, it soaks up scents from other items, which can potentially lower the quality. You can test this out by touching the chocolate to see if it releases a good aroma. So you touch it, if it releases a good aroma, remember, the stronger the rich scent of chocolate, the greater the quality. If it doesn't smell like chocolate, chances are there's other additives to it that's not, you know, or just was not manufactured properly. So it's lowering that quality, right? Okay. So now we've looked at it, we've smelled it. Next, we have to listen to it, okay? We have the sounds. You say sounds, what? Chocolate talks? Well, no. It does not talk. However, the sound that I want you to pay attention to is that sound that chocolate makes when you break it. Good chocolate has a clean, sharp snap. However, like when there's like a lower quality chocolate, it bends instead of snapping, or it crumbles when you try to break it. So if you have a crumbly or, you know, bending kind of chocolate, then chances are it's not a good piece. And so last but not least, but honestly more importantly, is the taste test, right? The flavor is actually determined by the manufacturing process, as I said. That's a very important part of all of this. And also the quality of the cocoa beans. High quality chocolate feels smooth and velvety in your mouth. I know, because I just had the best piece of, like, Swiss chocolate the other day. Oh, it just melted right in my mouth, right? This texture is what you need to pay attention to. It's just melting, and it feels velvety in your mouth. You know it's a good, high-quality chocolate. If that chocolate has a waxy or gritty texture, that means the quality is not good. So I also want you to make sure that you pay attention to how it melts. Cocoa butter melts at or just below body temperature, meaning the chocolate should actually melt in your mouth and in your hand quickly. You can test this out by allowing a piece of the chocolate just to melt on your tongue and just notice what you're noticing. The taste of good quality chocolate doesn't leave your mouth quickly. Now, it actually should linger for several minutes. You know, so if you just have a piece of chocolate and it's just like, okay, you ate something and it's gone and you don't have that taste in your mouth anymore, then chances are it's not a good quality chocolate, because it should kind of stay there for a minute, like give you a little lingering good taste in your mouth if it's a good quality chocolate. All right, now we're going to talk about the health benefits of chocolate. With a higher cocoa percentage, has more flavonoids, which adds to the pigment and offers some health benefits, such as, you know, chocolate actually has a lot of really, really good minerals in it. And these minerals are really good for antioxidants. So, you know, antioxidants are things that help us fight off illness, right? Helps our body stay strong and fight bad germs off. And it's definitely something that's needed right now, this day and age, right? With all the cooties out there, not just COVID, but just cooties in general, right? So, we need all the antioxidants that we can get. So some of these minerals that chocolate has in them includes potassium,
iron, copper, and magnesium. You know, magnesium is actually really, really good for cramps. So if you get cramps, you know, this could be something that kind of helps, you know, because that magnesium helps with not only cramps but inflammation as well. And all of these minerals that I just mentioned, they all help support your immune system. So they're really, really important. Then we have dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is high in fiber, which fiber is super, super important to have in our diet, you know, because fiber is what helps us maintain our bowel movements. You know, just don't eat too much of it at nighttime because, you know, in terms of dark chocolate, because it does have caffeine in it. And, you know, the caffeine can kind of keep you up. So keep that in mind. You know, if you're going to have that dessert or that one piece of chocolate, try to do it earlier rather than later due to that caffeine. Also, you know, in terms of, we're talking about dark chocolate right now, dark chocolate can be good for your skin. It can protect your skin against sun damage. And again, this is not to replace chocolate as your sunscreen. No, you don't want to replace sunscreen. Sunscreen is always a good idea when you're out in the sun to protect your skin. But just in terms of your skin, what I'm talking about in sun damage, it actually improves the blood flow to your skin and increases skin density and hydration. Also lower the risk of blood clots, heart disease, and stroke, and also lower your blood pressure and insulin levels. Let me read that again. Chocolate can lower the risk of blood clots, heart disease, and stroke, and also lower your blood pressure and insulin levels. Now, I do want to just kind of put the disclaimer out there. How much you eat of it is important, okay? That doesn't mean you just go out and buy a bunch of, you know, chocolate bars from the grocery store and start plowing them down. No, not at all. It's not what I'm saying here. I'm talking about moderation. And you'll know, because when you get a good piece of dark chocolate, you're not going to be able to eat it like a regular candy bar. You know, you're not. You're not going to take it and eat it like a Snickers bar. You know, you're not going to eat it like that. What I do is I keep a really good dark chocolate bar in my refrigerator. And I just take like a little teeny corner, and that'll be like my little chocolate for the day. But I don't eat the whole thing. And it's so rich, it's not even, it doesn't even taste good to do that. So when I'm talking about eating, you know, piece, a little, you know, and you can tell how much you should eat of it when you look at the label and it says serving size. It'll tell you one square or two squares. And you don't even have to eat the full serving size. You can eat half of that if you want. And you can tell, like I said, when you eat a good dark chocolate, you don't have to eat a bunch of it, because it, a lot of times it does have that bitter taste. So you just want to have a little bit and get your chocolate fix. Now, another thing about chocolate is that it actually decreases bad or LDL cholesterol. You know, you have your LDL, which is your bad cholesterol, and then you have your good, healthy cholesterol, which is HDL. So chocolate actually decreases the bad cholesterol, the LDL levels. It actually increases the healthy HDL cholesterol. So that's another good thing. I know that that runs in my family. We have cholesterol and triglyceride issues. So chocolate can actually help us out in that area. And then, again, I've mentioned inflammation. It does actually help reduce inflammation. It increases your blood flow in your body, including the arteries and your heart. So it's linked to really help with heart disease. It doesn't cure. And I'm not saying that chocolate cures any of these things, but it certainly helps contribute, because what we eat is super important. You are what you eat. Your nutrition is everything. And food is medicine. I'm here to tell you that 100%. Food is absolutely medicine. So, you know, but it's what you eat, how much you eat of it, and how often you eat, your portion control. There's a lot that goes into that, right? And I think this is really, really interesting, is that there's a lot of research that talks about brain health associated with chocolate. dark chocolate, that is. And, you know, there's a team of researchers at Harvard Medical School that was doing a research study with older adults who drink 2 cups of cocoa a day for 30 days. And that resulted in research that showed that it had improved blood flow to parts of their brain needed for thinking and memory. So there's a lot of association with memory and dementia with chocolate. So look this up for yourself. Again, I'm not a doctor. I want to put that out there. I'm not a doctor. You know, I study nutrition. And I just want you to educate yourself, too. Don't just take my word for things. Go out there and research yourself on these types of things. If you have these types of challenges and you think that, you know, and I'm telling you that chocolate could benefit in some of those challenges, do your own research out there, you know, and make sure that you, you know, get it from your research from reputable sources. But know that there is a lot of research that shows a link between memory and brain health and dark chocolate. You know, I think it's kind of interesting, too, when you really go way back in time, because we're talking chocolate. Like, I think it goes way back to, like, Mesopotamia, like 5,000 years it dates back. But even, like, the Aztecs and the Mayans, they used chocolate as – they used to use it as a drink because you can take the cocoa beans and actually make a tea, right? So they used to use chocolate to drink it. And when they drink it, they valued it because they said that it relieves stress. What I love about it, too, and there's a lot of research that shows that chocolate kind of increases these cortisol levels or reduces your cortisol levels and helps actually boost your mood, makes you in a better mood. And I know I can attest to that because I feel like it really helps boost my mood. It makes me happy when I eat chocolate. So you should do what makes you happy. And if eating chocolate makes you happy, why then do it? You know, and for me, like I said, I only need like one piece. If I have like one piece a day, I'm good. I don't need a bunch. Just a little bit to curb your appetite. And I kind of learned that from my best friend too. She would always buy the snack size bars. And I would just have a little bar, and then I would feel like it curbed my appetite. But that was kind of the sugary ones. Now I don't, my palate has changed. I'm not a senior, but as we age, you know, research shows that our palate changes, and we kind of appreciate more the bitter, the darker chocolate. And I can attest to that. I don't really like sugary things, like things that are too sugary for me. Just like I said, white chocolate is not for me. Milk chocolate is good every now and then, but I can't do a lot of it. But the dark chocolate just has that sweet, you know, just sweet enough. It hits that sweet spot just enough to where it's a little sweet, a little bitter, and enrich. So you don't need a lot, just a little bit, and you're good. All right. You know, I just gave you a lecture on how cool chocolate is. So I encourage everyone out there to go have a piece of chocolate. And I'm actually going to do the same. But again, I want you to remember to choose a high grade of dark chocolate, 55% or higher. Eat it in moderation. You know, make sure that you look at that serving size so that you have the right portion. That's healthy for you. And I hope that everyone learned something tonight. It's not going to be a long show. When I do these nutrition shows, I like to keep it, you know, 30 minutes or less because really I just want to put these good thoughts in your mind so that you're mindful when you're eating. Because, again, food is medicine. And you are what you eat. So make sure that you eat things that are healthy out there, that will nourish your body, make you happy, and really feed your body those good nutrients so that your body can function at its highest potential. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. I hope you all learned something, had some good takeaways, and I wish everyone a great night. Y'all stay safe, and y'all stay healthy. And go eat that chocolate. I know I am. All right. Stay blessed. Good night, everybody.